Welcome to SaaSCast with Sarah and Amber. Hello!
Hi, Amber.
Hi, it's been a long time since we've done our show.
Sarah?
We haven't done our show in a long time.
I know. We owe a big sorry to our listeners. We got a couple emails asking what happened to us, and we had warned the group that we were going to be absent for 2 weeks, which turned into three, almost a month. Why did that happen? Do you want to tell them, Sarah?
Well, we did do a whole show that wasn't recorded.
That was probably the biggest issue. And then we couldn't get our act together.
Meaning, just to clarify, we did the show, and then when we were playing it back, it hadn't recorded.
Yeah, there's no volume. So that was a big...
And can you imagine the steam that came out of my ears?
Yeah, I do, because I see it in the day of COVID. So tonight, I'll tell our listeners that today was a special day. We were celebrating something. 2 years, cancer-free, Sarah of SaaSCast.
Yes.
So we got a very special dinner ordered from our restaurant we really, really like.
Flower and Water.
Flower and Water.
Italian
we used to
restaurant.
Go there after our therapy sessions.
Yes, after couples counseling,
after
where we were trying to save our marriage years ago.
Yes.
It apparently works.
It works. So if you go to Flower and Water, sit at the bar, there are really good therapeutic drinks there.
Not anymore.
And food. I know. So anyway, we got our meal. And this goes to the, you know, steam coming out of your ears,
yes,
that you were having a breakdown because you felt as if the gem salad was not gemmy enough.
But here's how it all went down. The salad, all the food showed up, and the first thing I opened was the salad. And to me, it appeared that it looked like a bagged salad from Safeway, and it cost $15. And I immediately freaked out.
You freaked the F out.
Right.
And you were on the phone, about ready to call them to tell them all about their salad and take a picture of it. We talked you off the ledge.
You did it. And I was very grateful because all the food turned out to be so delicious and excellent.
Oh my God. It was so,
it was so good. And you know what? Really, I wasn't going to be jerky about it on the phone to them other than to say, I think you should take that salad off your menu because it's really disappointing when somebody opens it up and sees a bagged Safeway salad.
But it wasn't bagged.
It was good.
It was super good. Everything was hiding at the bottom. That was part of the problem. And you hadn't done any kind of stirring of it yet. And so I was able to really talk you off the ledge. But every day I see steam coming out of your ears. Every day.
Yes, it's true.
It's true.
So that was kind of what happened when we realized that our entire show that we had recorded.
You know, amateur podcasters, this isn't the first nor the last time that this is going to happen. So we just have to count it among our learning curve. We were very excited about yesterday, New York Times called out Arts and Culture, called out Real Housewives of Salt Lake City as a cultural icon.
Wow. Did they call it an icon? They just said it was something to watch.
Oh, okay. I got a little...
That it was quite entertaining and that, yeah, it was in the arts and culture section that we love.
Yes.
As something to watch on television.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I love...
It was the only show Matt mentioned.
You know, I had to laugh when my stepmom said that the reason she liked to watch it was to see the outdoor scenery.
Well, yeah, you know what? Good point, Jess. That's your name. Because, truthfully, when I saw them do the snowmobiling, have we even talked about their snowmobiling?
No!
Yeah, so we'll talk about that real quick, and then we can just go...
Yeah, well, I think...
through each person and what they're up
yeah,
to.
Yeah, I think what we're going to do for this episode, because we got a little behind, but we are not getting behind in the future, is to go over everybody, catch them all up. So tomorrow's episode, we are on it.
Back to what you were saying about how Jess said that she likes the scenery. I was watching the snowmobile section when everybody and their spouse went to a snowmobile company up there in Park City.
And they all fell over on the snowmobile, every single one of them except Heather Gay.
Yeah, I don't know.
See, I think that was planned.
Drove them up to the top of a very high mountain in Park City. It looked like open, nice, beautiful, open snowfield. And they all had their own snowmobiles. And
Didn't they have a little fire up there?
Yeah, then they built them a little fire for lunch.
And
had a little lunch. It was so beautiful. And I said to Amber, after I watched that, I've never been snowmobiling before in my entire life.
And you're a Utah.
Yeah.
I am going to reserve myself a snowmobiling trip one of these in the near future. I know, it looked incredible, except that I didn't understand why everybody fell over. Like, everybody, like, crashed on their snowmobile. And I didn't think that was very real. I felt that was ridiculous.
Well, I think it could be dangerous. It's like,
oh, super dangerous. When I was practicing hospital setting, we had people coming in left and right for spinal cord injuries off of snowmobiles. So I didn't think it was very safe that they were all falling.
Oh, really? For snowmobiles?
Heck yeah.
Huh.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know, there's crazy guys. I've seen them.
Or there's snowmobile racing.
Yeah. Or where they'll go up like a cliff and then do jumps and stuff. Like, if I were doing snowmobiling, it would just be, you know, at 20 miles an hour. Snowfield that's flat.
Go over each person because this episode is a combination of episodes. Again, we're very sorry to our listeners, and we did get a couple emails asking what had happened. But let's go ahead and go over each person thus far from the last couple episodes. So we're all caught up together, and we can tell you a little bit about the things that drove us crazy over the last few weeks watching the show.
So, by the way, I just found out before we do that, that there are only 13 regular episodes this season, which I was shocked, disappointed, and annoyed by, because that is so few episodes.
But it makes a lot of sense, because we figured they didn't want to do a lot of investing in the show in case it didn't take off with the listeners. And they weren't going to renew it. But we...
I mean, the watchers.
The fact that it was in the New York Times and must-see TV, I think this show's going to have a season two.
I agree. And then apparently they were recording the reunion a couple days ago, and it was a very long reunion. It was like 10 or 11 hours, which they said was a record for a first reunion.
I cannot wait.
Yeah, well, it'll be interesting to think what could they talk about for that long so far. But
that's a good point.
It is disappointing that there's only 13 episodes. So that means I think we have 4 episodes to go.
We have. Yeah. Oh my gosh. I think 9, we have 4.
10, 11, 12, 13. Oh, maybe 5.
Yeah. Either way.
Whatever. Doesn't matter. I want to talk in order. From my perspective, my least favorites to my most favorites.
Oh, excellent. I love this game. So can I guess what your least favorite is? And people should know we have not planned this. We I have no idea what Sarah is going to decide how to do this. So you're saying least favorite?
Housewife.
Housewife. Okay. So your least favorite housewife, I would say, is Lisa Barlow.
Me.
Jen Shaw.
Me.
It's not Mary. You love Mary.
Me. Me. Me.
So if I struck out 3 times so far?
Yeah. How could you have struck out that many times?
Well, then it leaves freaking Meredith.
That's right. Meredith Marks is my least favorite.
Are you kidding me?
No, because I'm not going to engage. I am disengaging. I am disengaging. I will not be engaging. Engaging.
She has zero storyline. She's not engaging. Really? Because what are you doing then? What is your purpose if you're not engaging on Real Housewives of Salt Lake City? Is that not your job to engage?
Well, was it Meredith or Brooks?
Oh, God. I hate him. He's not a housewife. But if you counted him as a housewife, I would hate him more than her.
Okay. Hate's a very strong word. So let's just...
I don't hate anybody. I'm just saying, for purposes of who do I want to watch, the person I least want to watch at this point in time, if Brooks were a housewife, he would be number one. He'd be the person I would least want to watch. Because you want to know what? He's a million times nastier than me. And that's saying a whole lot.
Yeah. You know, actually, I am going to agree with you. I would say, do you know who my least favorite is?
Lisa Barlow.
Okay. But now that you say in terms of engaging and watching on television... I agree with you. I think Meredith doesn't have a lot going on. I mean, the storyline with Seth, okay, that's whole thing is, are we on? Are we off? Are we on? Are we off? And now we're on. So then that was that. And that was all. But you're right. Meredith is boring to me. Lisa Barlow drives me insane. I will support her in her business ventures, and she wants to be a businesswoman, and she is a businesswoman. So I'm not going to take that away from her. I just get tired of the ad nauseum talking about how she wants to do businesses. But I tell you what, one thing I did totally approve of was Fresh Wolf. I think that there is a market out there for Fresh Wolf.
Fresh Wolf is her two young sons' beauty and bath care grooming
shampoo
company.
Shampoo and body wash.
Whatever. And I found out it wasn't for kids. I thought that was a great idea. It's just for men.
It's for men.
And it's by two little boys. Like, that's gross.
That's weird.
I don't understand.
That is bizarro. I thought it was for young boys. Like, you know, when they're going through puberty and real super smelly.
You know what? Can I just say something about... Ew.
My brother was always smelly. My dad wasn't smelly. My brother was smelly.
So, you know, let me just say something briefly about branding issue, where you just pick a name and then you just develop the brand around the name, which is exactly what I think they did. They're like, oh, I think she thought of the name Fresh Wolf, which is a good name, by the way, unless the little kid did
Fresh
it.
Fresh Wolf?
Yeah, I thought it was a good name. But I don't like brands where they have just built the whole thing around the brand and the product is not important at all. And I'm getting the feeling that that's kind of what they're doing. Yeah. I don't like that at all.
So that was my least. So you got your least. I got my least. But hey, what about Lisa Barlow and her family night when they're doing goal setting?
Oh, God, you guys. Whatever. I'm glad that they're doing goals.
I shouldn't be so like.
We should do our goals.
Yeah, we should. I shouldn't be so down on it. But again, it was all around business and what kind of businesses they're doing and business this and business that. And then her husband, John, sits there kind of like a deer in the headlights going, you know, I'd like to spend some time with you. And his kind of deer in the headlights look. And she's like, John. And then she's thinking about another brand.
He's pretty much saying we don't spend enough time with our children and with each other. And all that matters is business to you. And she's like, that's correct.
I know. No shame there.
Whatever.
Anyway, okay. So she drives me crazy. Okay, so we got Meredith down, Lisa Barlow. Now it's my turn to guess who your next one is.
My third least favorite. Or so there's only – how many? Are there five?
Yeah, I would say probably for you, Jen Shaw, because I think Mary would be above Jen Shaw. And then Heather and Whitney are our favorites.
You know what? I'm going to say – good guess, but I'm going to say that Mary M. Cosby – and Jen Shaw are tied for me because they're both, they're like the yin and yang because they're two sides of the same person. If you were thinking about somebody who was batshit crazy, which both of them are, they're batshit crazy in completely different ways and equally annoying. I don't know. I mean, it wasn't until the recent episode that we just saw that I thought that Jen Shaw might need some psychological help because she's got depression or something. But until then, I was like, what the hell? You guys are crazy. Remember it all started with hospital smells?
It all started with hospital smells, and it ended up in the latest episode with Sharif's surprise birthday party. They went to the golf.
It was kind of cool. It was golf, a game place, and you game could do place. Golf, and then you could do like ping pong and pool. And
Sharif thought they were going to Popeyes, and he was very excited.
I love Popeyes. I haven't been to Popeyes in years, but if I were to go to Popeyes and it were my birthday, which it might, that maybe that will have to happen, I would get the biscuits and I would get the fried chicken. And maybe the mashed potatoes. I love Popeyes.
Oh, I know. My mom used to take us to Popeyes when we were young in LA, and Popeyes is delicious. But anyway, they ended up going to the game night, and that's when Housewives, the brand of the Housewives, and the actors on the show being true housewives, when Whitney was wasted drunk and then like, I'm going to tell Jen that Lisa and Meredith are supporting Mary and it's going to drive Jen crazy.
No, remember,
and sure as you know what, Jen went a crazy person.
First off, Mary was not invited to the party of 9 million people. Like, really? Just
that
fucking invite her.
I think that was mean and rude. I think that was mean.
Honestly, it was like a facility, you guys, that would hold 100,000 people at a Trump rally. Yeah. And probably the largest one there could hold that facility. So it wouldn't have mattered if Mary would have showed up. She wouldn't even seen her. Secondly, Whitney decided that she's me tell Jen that Mary had received phone calls from Meredith and Lisa Barlow saying they were afraid of Jen. I don't know if that was true or not, or if she made that up. Like, I couldn't figure that out.
I would not be afraid of Jen.
Lisa Barlow's not afraid of Jen.
No one's afraid of Jen. Jen just is going to go volatile when it comes to 0 to 60. So if that's what you're afraid of, well, then okay, I can get that part. But no one's afraid of Jen. And she did not disappoint. At Sharif's birthday party, throwing glasses, screaming, yelling, got in her car with her son, Omar, and he had to calm her down, tell her to breathe.
I really did, when they showed the preview for this upcoming episode this week, I really believe that Sharif was actually as upset that he appears to be as he appears to be.
I agree.
I think that he's like thinking to himself, I did not sign up for this. And I'm getting the feeling that that's really what Jen Shaw does. I actually don't think that that's an act. I think that she has a temper like that. Well, yeah, because didn't she say that Sharif was upset with her previously because of her crazy behavior? And, you know, he seems like kind of a chill guy, truthfully.
Certainly comes across that on the show. What I do appreciate about Jen Shaw, she has acknowledged depression, anxiety, lonely and isolated. And I give her a lot of credit. Those are not easy topics to talk about. Certainly not on television. Certainly not on a new reality reality show where you're hoping to get a bunch of viewers. And so I actually give her a lot of credit for actually even commenting on those on television.
She's not doing it in a way that makes me feel sorry for her. The only thing that's resonated with me, her major complaint sounds to me like is her marriage and the fact her husband travels all the time. And since I grew up in a similar situation where my dad was traveling 3 weeks out of every month, I lived that kind of lifestyle where the mom is the primary person.
Yeah.
And just feel like that's what Sharif's been doing for a long time. And now suddenly she's having a breakdown about it. I don't know. I just think that her temper is strange in that regard. I can tell you what,
she's not a good dancer. That was not good dancing.
Well, neither is Whitney. Whitney's horrific.
I could have danced better than that.
You are a great dancer.
Do you think the listeners are tired of the striptease acts and the pole dancing and the booty thing that Whitney does all the time? Like, I like myself some Whitney and Heather Gay conversation, but I'm really tired of the Whitney dancing.
Well, yeah, they've showed the pole dancing a lot. Why are you showing it over and over again?
Grinding and trying to do dancing here, and she was drunk and couldn't even stand upright. I don't know.
Oh, Heather was kind of in on telling Jen that Meredith and Lisa were...
Barely. Heather's always like, I'm not going to tell her, you tell her. Heather Gay kind of keeps her head above water and tries to keep clear of being in the mess.
Yeah.
So I always respect that about Heather. So what do you think about the whole Billy entering the scene?
Oh, I forgot all about him. Like literally, that left my mind. First off, does he matter? But who cares? What's the glue that's kept this show together? My opinion, what's made it interesting? Maybe it is the scenery. I hadn't thought of that. Your stepmom said that. I also think it's the Mormon stuff. And Heather is the primary person that we're listening to and seeing about the Mormon stuff. And her ex-husband shows up. And he looked terrible. He looked unwell.
Yeah, he looked unwell.
And then they showed pictures of them when they had first gotten married, and they were probably, I'm thinking they were 18, 19 years old, maybe 20 at max, mm-hmm. which is, you guys, can you imagine?
No.
I can't. No. But he looked like Goose. Anthony Edwards. Yeah.
Anthony Edwards. Yeah.
From ER and Top Gun when he was young. So he was quite cute in that way totally. When he was young. And he certainly is not cute anymore. And it's really sad.
No, they have a nice relationship and everything. And
you would never guess a million years that they've been married.
Certainly not now. And then
they don't have that connection. You know how most people who have had a relationship in the past, you can tell that there's something that they had a relationship. Like, you know, when you see people who are together, I mean, I don't know. You see me with my ex. It's not like we have a connection, but you could tell. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's a familiarity. Yeah,
familiarity. They didn't have that. It was like they were total strangers.
No. At one point, they did until the glory hole.
Tell that story, Amber.
And so when Heather was saying that they went to Scream 3, the movie, and a glory hole scene came up on the screen that Billy, he left the movie and Heather did.
He told her that they both needed to leave and she wouldn't.
There's so much debauchery going on and that Heather wouldn't leave. And then she knew that this relationship wasn't going to work because of the glory hole. And then he moved out subsequently, like a week later or something.
Then Amber said to me, what's a glory hole?
I never heard of a glory hole. Ever heard of a glory
hole. And
I
thought she was completely kidding. I did not believe that was a real... I was like, aha, that's hilarious.
I thought it was an anus is what I... Because that was a, you know, hole.
I said, everybody knows what a glory hole is. And she goes, not everybody doesn't know what a glory hole is. And I'm like, anybody knows what it is. And then you said...
Asked my friends and they all wrote back immediately. It was like, yeah, duh. And then the one said, sounds like you might need to Google image search it.
Gross. Yeah, they told her to Google image search it.
Like, forget that.
Amber found out what it was. She couldn't even believe that such a thing existed.
I didn't know. Kind of, that was debauchery.
Did it disturb you? I think it did.
I'd walk out too.
Yeah, you would actually.
Yeah.
I know you would.
Debauchery.
By the way, why was there a glory hole in Scream 3?
I don't know.
I never saw that one.
I didn't either. What do you think about Heather's confessional to her daughters regarding the pull that the Mormon church has and her wanting to leave it for the most part? And she wants to drink and she wants to just be who she is. I thought that was really a sensitive, thoughtful conversation. And I really felt for the whole family.
I mean, when you think about it, a lot of those women actually grew up Mormon, right? So Heather, Whitney. Jen Shaw, all three of them grew up LDS. And I do feel like that Heather is feeling, you know, she said she felt ostracized and alone. I have that in my notes. Mm-hmm. And I do feel like that Heather wishes that she were still part of that community, but at the same time wants freedom to sort of express and be who she is. And I think that that's really sort of a conflict and an internal conflict for her. I feel bad for her. I honestly do feel bad for her, because if your whole life revolved around a group of people and then suddenly they thought that you weren't good enough or, God, you know, that's not, horrifying. You know, the, or
a divorce.
Yeah. And by the way, let me just mention this as well. Whitney mentioned in the same episode that her in-laws, because remember Whitney and her dumb husband, Justin, I don't know if he's dumb, they were both married and then they were dating each other and broke up their marriages and got with each other. And Whitney's in-laws, apparently up until just a couple years ago, they've been together for 15 years, Whitney and Justin. And Whitney's in-laws this whole time have had Justin's wedding picture with his first wife in their living room, yeah. Hanging in their living room, not Whitney and Justin's wedding picture, but the first wife and Justin's wedding picture. And then just recently, the in-laws decided that they would add Whitney and Justin's wedding picture next to Justin's. And I'm going to make a comment about this because it's so important. And then to the right of that is the ex-wife, I don't remember her name, and her husband's wedding picture. Her new husband's. But the reason why I'm going to mention that in regard to going back to Heather is, I think I said this in one of my other, where we talked about it, eternal marriage, right? So this is something that's unknown and not talked about in the Mormon church. So their polygamy used to be legal and what they practice, what Mormons practiced in the 1800s, multiple wives for a husband. And it is still in the celestial kingdom in heaven, they still have plural marriage. So if you marry someone on earth in the temple and you're sealed, you are sealed for all time and eternity with that person, even if you get a divorce on earth. So, which is super, super creepy. And then secondly, your husband in celestial kingdom can have multiple wives on top of it. So say, for example, you got divorced from your first husband, Whitney Rose, and you did not get a temple divorce. Whitney Rose is going to be sealed for all eternity to her first husband if she's, you know, believing in that crap. And similarly, Justin's first wife is sealed to him for all eternity, which probably explains why the fucking family has their wedding picture still in their living room.
Oh, my goodness. But
But if you're believing in that kind of stuff and that was your community and suddenly you're not part of that community, not that I would want to be. And I think that's where she's torn. Heather is torn. She wants to be part of her community that she's been in her entire life. She's what, 45 years old. Yeah. But at the same time, she doesn't want to be part of that community because they don't like her and they're ostracizing her. And that must really suck.
Ugh, that's horrifying.
It's sad.
Horrifying. The last one we should probably end on is Whitney's dad.
Well, we didn't talk about Miriam Cosby.
You want to briefly touch on her seven houses or whatever they have? Well, and I cannot figure out. So they have an active church in Indiana and an active church in Salt Lake City. And they have what appears to be, or at least it's alluded to, a house in New York and I don't know where else. And they have churches, mortgage companies, restaurants, and just because daycare centers. A big money maker, those daycares.
So Mary feels excluded from the group.
Yeah, that was sad. I felt bad for her.
Well, let me just say something about that. Mary is excluded from the group. You want to know why? Because the only other true non-Mormon, Jen Shaw, I know there's a lot of people non-practicing Mormons in that group, but the only true non-Mormons in the whole group are Meredith Marks and Miriam Cosby. And Meredith Marks is not from there, so she never felt the exclusion of being non-Mormon in Salt Lake City, Utah. And so Miriam Cosby is the only one person who has felt that way. And I tell you what, I felt her pain because she's being excluded probably because she's batshit crazy and runs a cult. But listen, I've been there, done that. It really sucks when you are excluded from that community. It sucks.
And like I said the last time, there's a tiny part of me that finds Mary M. Cosby slightly endearing because she is such a weirdo.
Well, yeah.
You know, Jean is naturally a very awkward, weirdo person. And I do like that about her. But I don't like the whole cult thing. I know. I don't trust it. I don't like it. But I feel like Mary M. Cosby has a big facade over her. And she's living this in the shadow of her grandmother that she idolized. But down deep, there is just some real hurt in there and real just a person who's just locked inside.
Yeah, I don't think she
locked inside. You can't see me shaking my head and having eyes like Mary M.
Your eyes does. Just popping out of your head.
So let's move on from her a bit, and let's end with Whitney's dad and his hair. He wants to get out of rehab after 21 days.
You guys, I thought that was a wig. And then in the most recent episode, it's clear it's not a wig.
No, it's attached to his head. You can see it.
It's just a terrible dye job.
It's a terrible dye job.
You guys, you remember when, I hope you all saw it, when Rudy Giuliani was doing his press conference and Just for Men hair dye was running down the side of his face.
Yeah. And I'm expecting that too when Whitney's dad starts sweating, and it hasn't happened yet, but it's going to.
Can I ask you a question? How do you suppose Trump, I was just making me think about, how do you suppose he gets his hair yellow like that?
Well, and we've seen his face run the orange bronzer. We've seen that happen.
Yeah, because it's just makeup. I was thinking about Rudy's hair. It doesn't really matter. But yeah, so it's real hair. He wants to be a hairstylist. Why he thinks with his hair like that, anybody would ever have him touch their head at all. I don't know. Right?
And he told Whitney, he's like, I want to get out there and start making money. And like, he kind of had this like, you know, get into the groove again. And I'm thinking to myself, dude, you're 63 years old, which I have no problem with you like reinventing yourself. However, that hairstyle is not going to afford you the business that you want, for number one. Number two, I felt really a lot of worry for him. And I thought the whole thing when Whitney and Justin went to therapy with him, and he's kind of like sitting there going, I need to leave now, get a job. And Whitney's sitting there going, how are you going to pay rent? You have no money. How are you going to do? Like, she was the parent of this guy. It was painful. I didn't like it. I was uncomfortable.
He definitely felt entitled. Whitney and Justin should
pay for his stuff.
And then Justin sat there with his little dimples, and it just occurred to me that he looks kind of like a male Betty White with those little dimples. He's got that little face, that little round face, and those little dimples.
You know, Justin doesn't bother me.
Doesn't me either. Yeah. I think he seems like a nice guy, actually.
He does. He seems like a nice guy, and he's supportive of her. He's got a, I mean, come on, let's be honest. He's got a trophy wife, and he's living the dream because he's a guy. He's 52. She loves to twerk. I mean, it's a win-win.
Yeah, plus I think she seems nice.
Yeah.
I agree.
No, it's fine.
But, you know, I can actually imagine Whitney's dad with normal-looking hair. Like, I can actually Amber, just close your eyes.
Okay.
I'm being serious right now. And just envision him. Envision just
seems like a Carl.
Some silver hair and just normal hair on his head. He would be, he could, if he didn't make that face. Amber's making his face. So you're right now. You're right. Now I can't do it anymore.
No, I can't. Oh. I can't. He's kind of like a little rabbit.
He'll... Yeah. All right, you guys. Well.
Oh, man. I'm looking forward to this week. I think it's going to be a good week.
Oh, I'm so excited because honestly, I think we're getting into the good stuff.
Yeah. And it's going to be continued, you know.
I'm thinking that Meredith might engage. I think Meredith might engage. I don't know. We know she's not engaging. She's definitely somebody who's going to be, if it weren't for the fact that she seems to be friends with some of the high profile other housewives and other franchises, I think she'd be fired.
She is?
God, I saw her with one of the New York housewives. I think Ramona. Somebody in Palm Beach.
Ramona and Meredith?
Well, because she was in Palm Beach, which
makes sense. Full on Ramona. Ew, yeah. That just gave me the creeps. That
might not have been Ramona. It might have been somebody else. Ramona, but it was a high profile. It was
insane. Total Trumpster.
Wow, you're taking it to a whole new energetic level right there.
I know. Anyway, well, listen. Okay, so we're going to finish our podcast for today. We did a lot, Sarah. And we're going to go ahead and we're eagerly anticipating the next episode. Hey, to our listeners, one, thank you so much for continuing to listen to the podcast. Two, thank you so much for writing us and sending us wonderful notes, particularly during COVID. We really appreciate your support. I know not everybody loves us, but the vast majority are just saying, keep it up, keep up the good work. It's been really pretty sweet. I like that.
Yeah, I love all the messages that I get.
And number three, make sure you tune back the day after tomorrow because we're going to have our episode up and going really fast because
we promise we're going to do it every episode out by Thursday.
Yep. So anyway, thank you so much. We hope you guys have a wonderful day, evening, morning, and we'll see you in the next episode of SaaSCast.
Yeah.